Hello, welcome to Between Two Worlds podcast. My name's Luke, and I'll be the host. We got Dan and Ron in here.
Good morning, Ron. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Luke. Good morning, Dan. I got a little bit of a bass voice happening here today, fighting a cold.
Nice.
I've got voice after two nights of youth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
two nights of youth. This is my
squeaky.
This is my
squeaky.
My eating
we're
glass.
We're just gonna call you Squeakers.
All right, let's do it.
We got some exciting stuff going on. It's huge stuff.
Yeah, it's a big month.
Dan, what are you doing this spring break?
Spring break, not as exciting as you guys.
Whoa.
You guys are like, you guys are rock stars. You know, we're chilling out, baby. We're having some good times next week. You know, having just like a great 6, 7, 8 night all together on Cheese Night, watching a movie, doing Smash Brothers.
What movie?
I don't know yet. Mm. But there's going to be movie popcorn. Popcorn actually bought from a movie theater in a garbage bag.
Wow.
So transport it.
Could a kid die, like sit in the garbage bag and eat popcorn while in the garbage bag?
Some would.
Yeah, let's not suggest that.
No.
So, but the yeah,
it's possible.
So
it is possible.
Yeah, we got that going on. So that's the spring break, man. So okay. For all the parents, just for the kids, I go. I threw out the past few nights at Jump 6 and Grade 7. And I threw, how many guys are going to wear somewhere hot, like for vacation, a spring break? And it's literally like 75% of the kids put their hand.
No.
It was it was crazy, man.
Oh well.
It was crazy, man.
Well, we're going someplace hot.
Yeah, I'm going someplace
You're
hot.
You're going someplace really hot. Yeah, where are you going, Luke?
I'm going to Thailand with the grade 11 and 12s, or some of the grade 11 12s. Yeah, taking 23 kids.
You leave
this Saturday.
This Saturday.
7:45. Right now in Bangkok, it is dark, but it's 28 degrees Celsius, but feels like 34
Ooh.
In the middle of the night.
So daytime?
It's 12. It's 12 a.m. right now. But my goodness, it feels like 40.
Your app on your phone that you're looking at literally has sweat marks on it when it shows the temperature. That's just what it is.
And there's also an ad for a vape.
Wow.
Why?
We covered that.
I've never searched vapes. Okay. Why would it? Yeah. I thought phones were supposed to be smarter.
Oh, it's so bad. That's so bad.
You know, spell vape with a Y? Vipe?
No.
That's the classy one.
Maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
So, Ron, what do you got going on, man?
Well, a week from tomorrow, I head out to Querétaro, Mexico with a number of our high school students, grades. We got 17 of us going, plus 3 leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got more, mostly 9s and 10s. Mostly 10s. And then I got a few grade 12s and a few grade 9s. And and we're going to work with Children of Hope Ministries, which is an orphanage. They run a number of orphanages down in that Querétaro area. And so looking forward to that. This will be a very new experience for, obviously, these students and to walk alongside and to get to know. There's about 25 to 30 orphans in this one particular home that we're going to called Esperanza.
Have you been there before?
I have. I've been there a couple of times.
Wow.
And it is an amazing ministry they have there. So we're going to do some work. We're gonna pave with paving stones. We're going to build some walkways.
Brick lane. Oh, wow.
And painting, probably.
Wow.
So we'll keep them busy.
Anybody that's really talented on your team?
In brick lane?
Brick lane, I think.
Got any funks going?
No, we don't have any funks going, but I think Micah Buckman is probably one of the guys that I'm going to lean on the most.
For brick lane.
Brick lane. You know,
Nice.
So,
I got a couple of bricks I'm bringing.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways,
but I just want to say something about
yeah,
that
Dan,
too.
Go for
about
it.
That Lukey. Luke the puke. I want to say something about that. On Monday night with our grade 6 youth, I had some of my youth leaders, right, our high school students and stuff. So we had them get up on the stage, and I want to say we had two students, Catherine Neufeld and Mary Kate Siemens, Catherine's at Abbey Senior, and Mary Kate's at Abbey Christian, and they're both going on your guys' high school trip, right? And then we had Phoebe Nickel up there too, and Phoebe Nickel is going with one of MEI's trips down to the Dominican Republic.
Yep.
I believe that's where she's going there, and just having them share about what it's like, and I thought it was awesome because Whereas most people, like I said, 75% of them are jetting off somewhere hot or whatever, or going on vacation. Yeah. And so talking about even these, having these high school students talk about like, why are they doing, like, why are they doing this? Like, what is the impetus? What is the drive to go and to go and do this? And I wanted to say, when, as soon as like you have, as soon as you have Phoebe say, oh, I'm from MEI, you just have this cheer go up. Right. And it's like, yeah, MEI. Right. Because we're like, we're heavy MEI, right. Yeah. We're an MB church and you're right with lots of, and that's brilliant. And that's awesome. But it can also bring divisiveness, you know, mm-hmm. when you do that. And actually, a couple of the students, the high school students who are our leaders, are actually addressing that, like even on the mission team and such like that. Mm-hmm. It's like the whole thing about building unity mm-hmm. between like putting aside what school you're from, right, and coming together as a child of God and going, what is our purpose? You know, why are we doing this? So I want to say, if you're a parent, and if your child is on a particular just like MEI trip or ACS trip, because Mary Kate's older sister is at ACS and she's going on the ACS mission trip this spring break, realize that this is all for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Right? So if your student is going on an MEI trip and you haven't actually mentioned it to your youth pastor, we want to be totally involved in this. We want to be praying for them. Last night, the grade 7-8 youth night, we had two of the grade 8 students, Brielle Dahl and Elijah Nickel, who are on the MEI grade 8 trip down to the east side. We had them up and we prayed for them.
That's
right. Like, we want to know. We want to celebrate. We want to honor them, you know, in the investment and the way that they're just stepping out in faith, you know. So just want to give a shout out there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good word, Dan. We're going to move along to our favorite part of the podcast. Ron, you're up for Here's the Thing.
Well, here's the thing. And guys, I think I've experienced this just as recently as a couple of days ago, but it has been something that has been, you know.
This is a lifelong thing.
It has been a lifelong thing, and it's actually grown with some pain in my world. But I call it refrigeration real estate. Now, Dan, are you familiar with the term refrigeration real estate?
No, I don't know.
See, I think this is something we're not aware of, and we need to be properly educated on this. But when you open up the refrigerator door, often I find squatters. Are you familiar with squatters?
It's my fridge.
I have things that are on certain shelves that should not be on certain shelves. When you are a small, little, insignificant let's say a container of yogurt. You cannot be in the milk shelf, like the tall shelf.
And so
you open up the fridge door and say, why is this so unhealthy, you know? And this has to have some order, and this has to have some, you know, I can't find the ketchup bottle, you know? And it should be, but it's sideways, stuck into a shelf because there's no room on the tall shelf for the ketchup bottle because all these little squatters are there and they shouldn't be there. So these little Tupperware things, they need to be on the smaller shelves. And I don't know if we need to have some sort of intervention and maybe
intervention with who?
Well, anybody who struggles with refrigeration real estate and just says this has to change because you have to have the ability.
Ron, you are a mystery to me.
An enigma.
I'm looking for. Because you see, you sit here and you get upset about this, and yet I've been in your garage. I've seen you sitting in a pool of oil in your garage, in your shorts, playing with nuts and bolts.
Yes.
And when you say, what are you looking for? And you just point, like you just, your arm like encompasses this garage, which is, it's intimidating. It's scary. Like, it's just overwhelming. I'm not going to say a hoarder, but like, you know, and it's funny that you feel that your fridge needs to look a certain way.
I don't think I want to bring a correlation between my garage and the tool bench and various tools that may or may not be in the right spot. But that fridge thing, that's a calculated miss when that little tiny little Tupperware thing is there and it's taking up space and you can't see it then. Can't see it. Could be gone.
Yeah, so, I do have squatters. I do acknowledge them.
Yep. See, and it's just something that, you know, I think in the long run, we serve ourselves better if things are put back. Tall things go into the tall places and short things go into the shorter shelves, you know. And that's just all I'm saying. You
Now, Ron, the only child you have left at home.
No, we have two now.
Oh, are Luke and Cody both there?
Yeah.
I'm moving back out in May.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, I thought it was just Luke. So you're literally directing this entire conversation at Luke.
No, I don't look in the fridge. So it's it's literally just him and Mom.
But I would welcome, if there are any of those who are listening, that if you have struggled with refrigeration real estate, that you would just affirm that and say, yeah, I open up the fridge and I say, that shouldn't be there. Who put that there? Do we have a sense of order and understanding about this?
This is coming down to a sense of order in the universe.
That's right. So that would be, yeah, that would be all my right. Here's the thing. I understand that.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I know. I amaze myself sometimes. How did you think of that?
That's good. I can just imagine your wife just listening to these.
Oh, she does. They get in arguments after.
What? You said that?
You said that. It's funny. I actually saw this happening, and I was just standing there laughing, and I'm like, Dad, this is here's the thing. Yeah. Totally, yeah. Right now. Like,
I agree. It just happened.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to go into switch into a different topic, and this topic is about how do you help your kids find who they are? How do you come alongside them when they're in middle school and early high school and trying to figure out their identity? Not their sexual identity, even though that sometimes can play a part in it, but we're talking more that every single high schooler, middle schooler goes through is finding out who they are. Mm-hmm. So how do you as a parent come alongside? Do you let your kids rebel a little bit when they're trying to figure out who they are? Do you lay down the law, helicopter, lawnmower parents, what kind of thing?
Okay, mm-hmm. So when you say their identity, mm-hmm. and you come like, you know, when you say, how did you phrase it? Like you come down hard on them and whatever. Are you talking about like clothing choices, music choices?
Yeah, like all of that. Yes, yeah, exactly that. I know there's sometimes parents who will actually not let their kids like dress certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they're like, no, you don't. No son or daughter of mine is going to wear that. I mean, you guys probably, did you go through that where your parents wouldn't let you or get Dan, you? I don't know.
No.
I know there's certain, like, no piercings.
More for the girls. I think I had grew up with sisters, and boys wore what they, you know, there wasn't a lot of. But girls, you know, I mean, I grew up in the era of the mini skirts, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was.
The 40s, right?
No, the 70s.
Okay.
70s were, 60s and 70s were mini skirts, I think, in those days. But regardless of that, I think what Luke is asking this question is that when these children move from the elementary years and into those middle school, early adolescent, right through adolescence, and then merging onto young adults, that there's a certain pathway that they choose, mm-hmm. that are directed, that are driven by tastes, and that could be music, that could be clothes, that could be lifestyle, that could be choices that they make, and you know, obviously, what fuels those choices? What helps them kind of, I mean, we talk about this in our parenting, our intentional parenting conference, that every teenager has this built-in search engine that says, I need to discover who I am. You know, and we live in now in a world of this, as you mentioned, the sexual identity thing. And so we're, you know, and as a parent, I says, we're boys are boys and we're girls are girls. Like there's going to be similarities, there's going to be differences. And you have to know your child and to build that relational currency so that you can help them decide. So I think in, you know, when they, you know, for instance, in our house, when, I mean, we played sports, everybody played sports. I mean, soccer, as soon as you could pretty much run, you were playing on a soccer team, you know, and so these mini little soccer things. And then, you know, soccer moves into baseball and other sports. And so when they got to school and things like that and football and things, So we help our kids find out who they are by experimenting in certain activities. And so some children are drawn to athletics. Some are drawn more to the art side. So it's music. It could be theater. It could be all kinds of things like that. And so how do you help your parents establish their identity? How do you help your teenagers establish that identity? Well, you want to give them multiple choices early. And I think, you know, where you just don't lock them in. And unfortunately, I think in our world, especially in athletics, You know, you just don't have a season for basketball anymore. You just don't have a season for football. You just don't have a or for volleyball. You don't have a season for you know, baseball. You got to play. You play the team, and then you go into a specialized team, and then, you know, so you're playing it all year long to get better, and so that takes up a lot of time, and so all of a sudden you got more and more time doing that, and then but what the kids if you don't have that athletic, you know, abilities and that desire to do that, well then you got to figure out what are some of the things that my son or daughter could get involved in, and so that's you have to be proactive on that as parents. Like, figure it out. Ask your child. Sit down with them. Say, what are some things you can do? Because you just don't want them sitting in their bedroom on their iPhone or on their computer. And, you know, you want to give them things to do. They will grow in all of the key areas of growth in terms of socially and emotionally and mentally and physically when you give them things to be involved in that will help them with their identity. Mm-hmm. And all of those things. And so that's where you get to come alongside them as parents and do that. Because every one of these, they're looking for that, we talked about this, it's sort of like an applause that says, well done. Hey, you did a good job. You know, and the younger they are, the more they need to hear that. And the older they are, it has to be absolutely genuine. You don't, when a grade one kid scores on his own goal, you know, and forgot which way he's running, you know, okay, you're not ripping him at that time. It's just, you know, but I mean, obviously there are places and times when they become adolescents that, hey, you know, there's reality here. You know, you may not make the team. You may not be a rep hockey player or play on, you know, all that kind of stuff because you're going to get, you know, whatever. So I think as parents, we have to come alongside mom and dad, talk about this, talk about your kids. What are things you want to be involved in, plugged in? And what is most important that will help shape them, their identity? So obviously around this table, we're very concerned about their spiritual welfare. We want students to have a powerful, Christ-centered relationship. We want them to fall in love with God. And so that's why we do youth ministry, and that's why we make that, you know, our life calling. And so that's got to be part of the story too. So there's lots of ways we can balance that.
Yeah, I think... first and foremost, like Ron, what you're saying is we want to have a sense of spiritual health. I mean, that's first and foremost, and our identity in Christ. For a lot of parents, as their kids are moving into adolescence and into the teenage years, you've raised your child and you've said to your child, these are the clothes you wear, dress this way, this is the music we play in the house. You know, you can like listen to this music maybe a little bit different, but you have a firm control. Then as your kids enter into the adolescence and firmly into the teen years, even like their clothing choices or their music choices will be quite different than ours, because we have to realize that we're raising our children out of our own cultural perspective, out of what we're comfortable with in the culture. And quite often it's also from where you were as a teenager, the music choices that you liked as a teenager and young adult, and even the clothing choices and the way that you dress are based upon, you know, that experience in your teenage years and in early 20s. So we have to realize that culture changes, music changes, clothing changes, the way where kids like to hang out changes. But if we keep first and foremost, their identity as Christ, we can walk alongside them. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize, I mean, every child, you know, that you'll hear them say often, like, I want to be my own person. I want to make my own choices and such like that. But you have to realize, and this is what any sociologist will tell you, we are tribal people. Mm-hmm. So any person or any youth that said, well, I want to wear my jean jacket this way, or I want to wear my jean jacket that way, or whatever, I want to put patches on my clothes, like whatever. But when you see them together at school with a group of people, everyone's dressed the same because we gravitate towards people that are like-minded. For those of you, think back to the 90s and grunge music, right? And it's like, oh yeah, we're just totally individualistic. We're into individuals. We're into our grunge music. And yet it just becomes this whole culture, right? And it becomes just, a genre like that.
Yeah, so, I would say it's much more. I mean, Luke, you probably respond to this too. But when you look over the, you know, and Danny, on a regular basis, you look over the kids that are in your ministry. Mm-hmm. They do appear to look very similar. Mm-hmm. You know, our groups do at least. I totally remember when I was doing youth ministry in the 80s that, you know, there were definite distinctives in each group. Like we would have skaters that would look a certain way. They would have their hair a certain way. There would be the goth look, you know, the black, everything black.
But they still, but each of those groups, so each of those groups still wanted to fit in
their
group. They still sought identity in that group, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what frustrated parents because some of that was very unfamiliar territory
right,
to them.
Right.
And whereas, you know, we now, I don't know, Luke, do you see differing segments in the group, would you say?
Not as much as there used to be.
Yeah, I would
like,
agree.
Not like, do you think I mean, even like when I was high school, like there's the jocks, there's the theater people, there's like all the different groups, the band people,
because
they hang out in the band room, and it's like they all like there's an influencer in each group.
And I think you still have that like in school. If you were to step into the school environment, you might not see it on a youth night, right? In our, but if you stepped in, of course, if you stepped in there,
high school,
you're still going to see that.
So
whether
even,
it's middle school or high school. Yeah.
Yeah. At the youth group, there's still different groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's probably one or two influencers in each group that influences the rest of the group to how to act, how to be.
Yeah.
And let's remember that all of these students are coming there. They want to be liked. Mm-hmm. They want to be, you know, maybe popular isn't the word, but I definitely want to be accepted. And so when you open with that question about looking and searching, well, I am searching for a way to be accepted. I'm searching for a way that people will know me and want to be around me. Yeah. And so if that means that I need to change... Mm-hmm. Then mom and dad sometimes are left out of that because they go to school, they see this. It could be even be the language. It could be anything that that ushers them into a place that says, oh, okay, I'm getting further into.
And this isn't necessarily a bad thing,
no.
Right, for kids to go through this who maybe in middle school was a preppy kind of look, right? They had – like the smart friends and the popular friends, but then they moved into high school and they're like, no, I like more fit into a different crowd now and they're changing their style. That's all fine.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to agree on that it's fine for kids to kind of go through these transformational appearances.
And it's totally fine too for a parent to go, I don't actually understand all of this.
Yes.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys don't have to understand.
They don't have to get it.
But at what point is it unhealthy and does a parent have to be like step in?
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously I went through changes where I went through different friend groups, different phases, and my friend groups and my personality changed depending who I was with.
Yeah.
At one point, does a parent have to step into their kids' lives and be like, actually, this change that's happening is not good because it's like, hey, if you want to dye your hair, fine.
Yeah.
Like that's not bad. Or if you want to cut your hair. No, that's it. Hair,
yeah.
No.
And what we want to say, if parents who are listening to this are saying, well, I don't want them to dye their hair. And it's like, okay, that's fine. That's your parental decision.
Yes,
that's
right.
You know, so.
But this isn't like you're joining a gang and you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you have to, as a parent, you want to be able to have, obviously, conversation on this. And because obviously you wake up in the morning and your kid comes out of their bedroom and they got blue hair. And you go, where'd that come from? You know, I mean, but that could be the scenario that maybe you got caught off guard because you're not necessarily, oh, you know, what's that? Or you find out that your kid is vaping. You know, we talked about vaping a while back ago. Like, why would you do that? Like, where did that come from? Like, what influenced you? And that's what we have to be aware of as parents. What is actually influencing my son or daughter?
Yeah.
You know, and I want to, as a parent, be a major influencer.
Yeah.
Now, I recognize that the older they get, the less they need us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more influence they're going to get from other sources. And that will come from various levels, from media and social media and from friends and from anything else. It could be if they have a part-time job and they're working and they have a whole new crew of people there that are influencing your son or daughter. Well, you never said that before. Or a school, they change a grade. Sometimes they move from that 8th to 9th grade or 9th to 10th grade, and all of a sudden things do change because they're growing and they're experimenting way more than they used to. And that is one of the ways that teenagers learn, is through experimentation. And parents, you have to let your kids sometimes experience things to learn that this is the way to go.
Well, and Luke, when you mentioned how you went through school and you changed your friend groups or your cliques and such like that, but you also said there's always like one or two people who are the big influencers in your youth community. That's why dialogue is, and Ron, you're constantly going on about this, is knowing your friends and knowing the dialogue. And especially in this generation, knowing where, like, what are their media influences? Like, where are they getting them? Because they might say, well, none of my friends are like this. Well, that is coming from somewhere. So you need to be able to have that dialogue on. And I want to say, like, Ron, when you said, like, your kid might come out of your room one day with blue hair and you're like, whoa, where'd that come from?
Yep.
You are all, as parents, going to have those moments multiple times when you raise your student where they're going to, something's going to happen and
surprise,
you are going to be just blindsided. And that's part of raising teenagers.
And that's this the way they look at at times.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't necessarily, they want to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that can be hurtful and it could be, you could even think it's disrespectful. But at the same time, when things do happen, you have to know how to respond to things like that and say, okay, what's the bottom line behind all of this? You know, sometimes we react more to the circumstance than we actually react to what's going on inside. Mm-hmm. And that we have to take a step back then, you know, and recognize, okay, well, this is what it is. So, but what's really going on here? You know?
Well, and if you're a parent and you're working a job or two job, your spouse working a job and you've got multiple kids and their activities and they're driving here and there, you want to feel that everything's going well, that there is control and then, right, that you have control of your kids and control of the situation and control of their lives. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, your high schooler will stand up and go, I'm doing this, or this is what I'm thinking, and this is what I think about life now, and this, right, you know, and these are my friends, and you can't tell me not to hang out with these friends. You don't know any better. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, your sense of control will start crumbling, and you can start doubting yourself as a parent too, right? And that's where we start feeling that no one else understands what's happening to as a parent too, right? But this is a reality. This is what it's like to raise a youth. And this is what I constantly say to parents too. For the majority of you, think about your own teenage years.
Yeah.
Think about your own relationship with your parents. Because everyone in their search for identity and autonomy, as you said this, Ron, you all go through this process. Yeah. You all go through this process, right?
And I think in that world, as well as parents, when things do kind of go against us, so to speak, as we do, we often lose focus as to what parenting is. And parenting is as a believer now, I want my kids to experience a personal relationship with Jesus. And I know that that's going to have some ups and downs. Some days it's two steps forward and it's one step backwards. Mm-hmm. It is never just clear sailing. Parents, you know this and understand this, because, oh, I thought we settled this. No, we didn't. It was there for settled for a while, but now it's gone the other way. You know, and that's why you have to be involved on a regular basis. You have to be intentional about figuring out exactly what are they thinking, what are they doing, and knowing their friends, knowing what they're doing. You just have to be involved, you know, not to the place where you're classified as that helicopter parent, but that parent who can come alongside the moments that you are given, you're using them wisely, and building that relationship, building that currency, building that opportunity, because when they do need some advice and some encouragement, you're there to give it to them, not just their peers. You know, they need to hear that from you, mom and dad. And so, and they need to have the inquisitiveness that you have. Say, well, okay, let's talk about this for a bit. Let's take a step back. I'm not saying yes or no. Let's talk, you know.
Yeah. That's good. Well, guys, this has been BTW, Between Two Worlds. So you guys, if anybody listening has any questions or anything they want to say, or anything that you want Ron to rant about.
Yes.
Just hit us up.
Just wind them up.
Just wind them up. BTW@northview.org.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and we won't see you, or you won't hear us in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Have a good spring break.
All right.
Awesome.